What was this? Up to that point, our encounter could have been interpreted as a respectful inquiry, one man asking for the whereabouts of another man. But I had asked her a question, and if she answered, we'd be chatting. Me, a mujarrad, a single young man, and she, an unwed young woman. One with a history, no less. This was teetering dangerously on the verge of gossip material, and the best kind of it. Poison tongues would flap, and she would bear the brunt of that poison, not me. I was fully aware of the Afghan double standard that had favored my gender for centuries. Not, did you see him chatting with her? But, did you see how she wouldn't let him go? What a luchak! By Afghan standards, my question had been bold. With it, I had bared myself and left little doubt as to my interest in her. But I was a man, and all I had risked was a bruised ego. Bruises healed. Reputations did not. Would she take my dare? She turned the book so the cover faced me. Wuthering Heights. "Have you read it?" she said. I nodded. I could feel the pulsating beat of my heart behind my eyes. It's a sad story. Sad stories make good books, she said. They do. I heard that you write. How did she know? I wondered if her father had told her. Maybe she had asked him. I immediately dismissed both scenarios as absurd. Fathers and sons could talk freely about women. But no Afghan girl, no decent and muhtaram Afghan girl at least, queried her father about a young man. And no father, especially a Pashtun with Nang and Nomus, would discuss a mujarrad with his daughter. Not unless the fellow in question was also a khastagar, a suitor who had done the honorable thing and sent his father to knock on the door. Incredibly, I heard myself say, "Would you like to read one of my stories?" "I would like that," she said. I sensed an unease in her now, saw it in the way her eyes began to flick side to side. Maybe checking for the general. I wonder what he would say if he found me speaking for such an inappropriate length of time with his daughter. "Maybe I'll bring you one someday," I said. I was about to say more when the woman I had seen on occasion with Suraya came walking up the aisle. She was carrying a plastic bag full of fruits. When she saw us, her eyes bounced from Suraya to me and back. She smiled. "Amirjan, good to see you," she said, unloading the bag on the tablecloth. Her brow glistened with a sheen of sweat. Her red hair, coiffed like a helmet, glittered in the sunlight. I could see bits of her scalp where the hair had thinned. She had small green eyes buried in a cabbage-round face, capped teeth, and little fingers like sausages. A golden Allah rested on her chest, the chain burrowed under the skin tags and folds of her neck. "I am Jamila, Suraya John's mother," she said. "Salam, Khala John," I said, embarrassed, as I often was around Afghans, that she knew me and I had no idea who she was. "How's your father?" she said. "He's well, thank you," I said. "You know your grandfather, Qazi Sahib, the judge? Now his uncle and my grandfather were cousins," she said. "So you see, we're related." She smiled and I noticed the right side of her mouth drooping a little. Her eyes moved between Suraya and me again,